Well, the New Testament portion of our daily readings comes from Matthew chapter 6, where we read of some very well-known and often quoted words with regard to the things that the believer should primarily seek after in this life. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 says this, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And what I'd like to do by way of exhortation is to explore this expression, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And we're going to look at the three aspects here, seeking, seeking the kingdom, and seeking righteousness. Those three elements to this phrase. And then we're going to look at the example of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So we've got this principle then to begin with, that we need to be found seeking after God's kingdom. If you go to Matthew chapter 13, a couple of chapters further forward, or a few chapters further forward, in verse 44, the Lord gives another parable here, and he says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." Now, if we knew that there was treasure in a field, we would spend much effort trying to find it and digging it up. And this man gave all that he had in order to buy the field and legitimately have claim to the treasure that was within it. And that's the way that we should seek after the things of the kingdom of God, like treasure hidden in the field. In Luke chapter 12, and we just go over to Luke chapter 12 and verse 33. We read here other words relating to this. Verse 32 for context, just after this declaration, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." Verse 32 says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms, provide yourself bags which wax not old," and so on. And so we need to be willing to give everything in order to obtain the kingdom. Sell that which ye have. I mean, there was a need in the first century to look after the poor believers that were being added to the ecclesia daily. And it was necessary for the people to sell the land that they had. I know I'm going off topic here, but when you think of the early disciples, they sold the lands that they had and used the money to supply the need of the poor brethren and sisters. And only those who'd listened to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ would have sold the land, would have bought the land rather, because Jesus told them how the Roman army was going to come against Israel and take it. And people would lose everything they had. So the logical thing to do then is to sell your land before that happened to people who didn't believe it was going to happen. And then there'd be provision made for the poor with regard to selling of those things which they were going to lose anyway. But that's by the by. We need to be willing to give everything, give all that we have in order to obtain the treasure that is laid up for us. The special treasure of life in the kingdom. We go over to Proverbs chapter 2. In Proverbs chapter 2, we read here, again, I think it's the background to these sorts of parables of the master here. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 4, we read these words. Proverbs 2 and verse 4 says, verse 3 for context, "If thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of Yahweh, and find the knowledge of God. For Yahweh giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." And so here's the comparison being made, as I said. If we knew that there was treasures hidden somewhere, we'd do all that we can to find it and to profit from it. That's human nature. But we need to exert the same energy in seeking out the wisdom of the Word of God as for hidden treasures. Proverbs chapter 4, we could go on to the book of Proverbs, but just look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee, and shall bring thee to honour when thou dost embrace her. And that's what we need to do, is to seek after wisdom, seek after the things of God, the wisdom of the Spirit, rather than the wisdom of the flesh. And then we go over to Isaiah chapter 53 as we follow these thoughts through. Isaiah chapter 55, rather, as we follow these thoughts through, we read of the metaphors changed here. It's not treasure so much as spiritual food. Isaiah 55 and verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. And there are very few of us who would go without food for an extended period of time. Particularly in the Western world in which we live, where we don't have to worry about where the next meal is going to come from. In the privileged circumstances in which we live, we know that it is different in other places, of course. But we need to give the same earnest attention to the Word of God as to our literal food that we might eat. If we don't eat for a while, we become very lethargic, we become very weak, and we're going to lose our health if we don't eat properly. And exactly the same thing happens if we don't partake of the spiritual food of the Word. We need to eat and wine and milk without money and without price. And then finally, in this regard, if you come over to John chapter 6, the Lord Jesus Christ here speaks about the same principle as Isaiah 55. John chapter 6 and verse 27. These are the words of the Lord. Labour not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. And so our labour, therefore, must be for the eternal meat, the everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give to those who seek it. And this idea of seeking, we must seek the kingdom of God like hidden treasures and like the very food that sustains us from day to day. Well, we just looked at the aspect of seeking wisdom, and it's very appropriate to consider the example of Solomon under the heading of the kingdom. You covered the aspect of seeking. Now it's the kingdom that we need to seek. Now, if you go to 1 Kings chapter 3, 1 Kings chapter 3, of course, contains the narrative with regard to King Solomon and his request for wisdom. And he did seek after wisdom. We know that towards the end, he turned away from the ways of righteousness, and his foreign wives directed his heart away from God to worship pagan idols. But certainly, he began with the right spirit. We read in verse 3 of 1 Kings 3 that Solomon loved Yahweh, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burned incense in high places. And so we read in verse 5 that in Gibeon, Yahweh appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give thee." And Solomon goes on to describe the situation that he found himself in as being sitting upon a throne watching over the people of God. And he says in verse 9, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon has asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart. so that there is none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And you see the point that's being made here, that Solomon sought first the things pertaining to the kingdom of Israel. He didn't ask things for his personal benefit. He didn't ask for long life. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for the life of his enemies. He asked for the things pertaining to the kingdom and that which would be beneficial to the kingdom of Israel. And then God gave him all the other things that he hadn't asked for as well. And you see, that's the principle, isn't it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And the interesting thing is, if you go back over to Matthew chapter 6, in Matthew chapter 6, Solomon is actually referred to in this very context. Because we read in verse 33 that if we seek first those things, all these things shall be added unto you. Or what things? Well, the things described earlier in the chapter. And so we read in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or for your what ye shall drink, or yet for your body what ye shall put on. Take no thought for those things, but seek first the kingdom of God, and all those things that be given to you. And those things are illustrated in the example of Solomon in verse 28. Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like unto one of these. And so God, who provides the flowers of the field, and who provides the adornments that Solomon had, is willing to and able to give us all that we need to sustain a mortal existence as we travel on our journey towards the kingdom to come. Well, there are many things we could say about the kingdom, of course. We know what it is. It's the time when the Lord Jesus Christ will come again and establish the kingdom upon the earth, which shall be Israel restored in the territory formerly occupied, as our statement of faith says. And that kingdom is what we should seek above all else. Our whole desire and our heart's desire must be to live in that kingdom to come, regarding the present life as being but a time of trial to prepare us for that greater glory to come when the Lord Jesus Christ will come again. Well, we're told to seek the kingdom of God, and very often that's where the quotation stops. It's often quoted, seek ye first the kingdom of God. But the apostle goes on to say, and his righteousness. Sorry, it's not the apostle, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, and his righteousness. So we need to seek the righteousness of God as well. If we just go to Zephaniah for a few moments. Zephaniah chapter 2. Zephaniah chapter 2, the nation was confronted with impending judgments, and we read in verse 1 of Zephaniah chapter 2, gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of Yahweh come upon you, before the day of Yahweh's anger come upon you. Then it says, seek ye Yahweh, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness. Seek meekness. It may be that you should be hid in the day of Yahweh's anger. And it's the hope that we have to be delivered from the wrath to come, as the apostle says. And notice here that this idea of seeking God's righteousness is associated with seeking God himself. Seeking God's righteousness, it says. And seek righteousness, seek meekness. We recognize his exalted position and how we are but dust and ashes before him. When we seek the things of God, we must recognize our own frailty and seek a meekness as well as part of the process. And then Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11 is the chapter all about the various aspects of faith that we need to have. And we read in verse 6, Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we need to diligently seek God, and belief in the truth and adherence to the gospel isn't a passive thing. It's something that's very active. We need to give all due diligence to seek God. And then if we do that and seek his kingdom and his righteousness, then he will provide those things that we have need for. And there's lots of examples we could look at in connection with this. I'd just like to look at one of them. If you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 17. 2 Chronicles chapter 17. We read here in verse 1 of Jehoshaphat. Now Jehoshaphat was a righteous king, but the problem was he joined affinity with those who hated God, namely Ahab and his army. But he was a righteous king to start off with, and we read in verse 1 that Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. Verse 3, and Yahweh was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to Yahweh his father, God of his father, and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. So see what's happening here. He's seeking first the things pertaining to the righteousness of God. He sought to Yahweh, the God of his father. And what happened? Verse 5, therefore Yahweh established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honour and abundance. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of Yahweh. Moreover, he took away the high places and the groves out of Judah. And so this was a consequence of him seeking the God of Israel, the God of his fathers. Therefore, because he so sought the righteousness of God, the kingdom was established in his hand. And it's the promise that we have also that if we seek first those things, then God will establish the kingdom for us as well, that we might have a part therein and be kings and priests in the age to come. Being lifted up in the ways of Yahweh, as it were, as distinct from being lifted up in the ways of idolatry. There's lots of other occasions we can look at of men that sought Yahweh. A great multitude of men did that, as described in the Old Testament. And even though in the overall scheme of things they were but few in number, when we consider the situation that they had, as we say, we just regard this present life as being preparation for the kingdom to come. And if we seek after God's righteousness, we will also be given the kingdom, just as Jehoshaphat was. Well, I want to really conclude by considering the example of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We just read of the wisdom of Solomon and his request that he might be able to discern between good and bad. And if we go over to Psalm 45, I think it's Psalm 45, we read here of our master. Psalm 45 and verse 7. Verse 6 for context. Verse 6 is quoted in the book of Hebrews and applied to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The sceptre of thy kingdom is a right sceptre. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. You see the pattern again that the Lord Jesus Christ was wisdom personified. He is the embodiment of divine wisdom, and he loved righteousness and hated wickedness. The two go together. The life of the disciple isn't all about love. It's not all about loving everybody and this sort of idea, this woolly spirit of unconditional love. That's not the way the disciple of Christ should be. If you go back over to Isaiah chapter 7, this is the spirit that we should have. Verse 15, after the prophecy regarding Emmanuel in verse 14, it says in verse 15, butter and honey shall he eat. Okay, so it's going back to the spiritual food that we just considered. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. And then it goes on to describe various aspects, more further aspects of prophecy. But this is ultimately a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it says in verse 14. He would be Emmanuel. Words whichever incipient fulfillment there was in the prophet's day very clearly relates to the Master. And so we need to partake of that spiritual food in order to be able to discern between good and evil, to have that wisdom of Solomon, the wisdom of Solomon. And so we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, just two more passages before we close. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We read here in verse 30 of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read first of all in verse 28, or verse 27 for context actually, because it's very pertinent. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And that's the whole system of salvation is arranged so that no flesh can glory in the presence of God and say, I have a right to salvation in the kingdom. I have a right to be in the kingdom. You can't do that. No flesh can glory in the presence of God. And we read that interesting description here in verse 28. Basings of the world, okay, we understand that, the low men and women of low esteem who are chosen by God, and things which are not, and I suggest the things which are not are those who are sleeping in the dust of the ground, because they're not existing anywhere. All things are not, and they will be chosen by God and raised up. He is a God of the living and not of the dead. And so they'll be raised up, and the whole system is that no flesh should glory in his presence in verse 29. Even Solomon in all his glory couldn't glory in the sight of God. But then we read in verse 30. Very interesting and appropriate words. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. A quotation from Jeremiah chapter 9. But you see the point here that Jesus, who is of God, made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. So if we're seeking after the wisdom of God, we're seeking after the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're seeking after the Master himself and the righteousness that he established and the principles of his redemption from the bondage of human nature with which he was encompassed like as we are. And so we need to follow his example. 1 Peter chapter 2. I know I said just have one more reference, but this is an extra one. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, for even hereunto are ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he is reviled, reviled not again, he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And then it goes on to describe particular aspects of the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the point. That in all these things, the Lord Jesus Christ sought after the good spiritual food. He sought after wisdom. He sought the things of the kingdom. And that gave him a joy that enabled him to overcome. A final reference. This is a final reference. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 speaks to us of our Master. And tells us to look at the Lord Jesus Christ from a particular aspect. Verse 1 of Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with greater cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. But look what it says in the verse that follows. We're told to look at Jesus from a particular aspect, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And the word for author literally means a captain or a princely leader. And a finisher is one who completes or perfects an item. Like if a carpenter is making an item of wood, he applies French polish to it, for instance, to finish it off. The Lord Jesus Christ is the princely leader. He's the captain of our salvation. It's the same word used when in Hebrews 2:10. And he is the one who finishes the work, as it were. He's the finisher of our faith, the perfecter of our faith. But it says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the Lord Jesus Christ, the joy of Yahweh was his strength, Nehemiah 8:10. And so it was that joy that was set before him that enabled him to endure. We therefore need to have that same spiritual sight. We need to be able to endure the afflictions of this life as we look forward to better days to come. And so, as we bring our thoughts to conclusion, then we see the importance of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All three aspects coming together in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we therefore must seek to follow the example of the Master. Let us go and do likewise, that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, we might be rewarded by being given to eat of the hidden manna, as it were, the spiritual food, that we might sustain an immortal existence with our Lord Jesus Christ as one spirit throughout the ages to come.